Isaiah 54, verse 13. And hold your place there and turn to the 6th chapter of the book of John. And our Lord refers back to this verse as he spoke. In Isaiah, it says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Our Lord said in John the 6th chapter, in verse number 45, "It is written in the prophets." Isn't it amazing how he goes back to the prophets? It's written there. It's all the same. Your Bible is divided between old and new, Old Testament, New Testament, but it's still one book. Isn't it? It's one book. It says, "Written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. And every man that therefore that is heard and is learned of the Father cometh unto me." So we have this verse that tells us that all of God's children shall be taught of the Lord, and it means there's no exception to this. It says all of them shall be, from the least to the greatest. And again, this is how the children are manifested, that they are taught. Now what a blessed privilege that this is this morning, to be taught of God, be taught of the Father, to be taught of the Holy Spirit. What a mercy it is. We have a lot of blessings that we're blessed with. And Paul writes, and he calls them spiritual blessings, and he hath blessed us. We already have these blessings. You think about the blessings of we're blessed and as being His children, we are blessed in election, we are blessed in redemption, we are blessed in regeneration, and we are blessed with heavenly teaching. Now that's a blessing of the Lord, isn't it? When we look at this, that here it is, and we love these blessings that God has blessed us with. And why? Because without the heavenly teaching, there's a blindness that we have by nature. We are blind. The scripture says there's a blindness of our minds. There's a blindness of our heart. There's a veil of ignorance upon us and over that of our understanding. It says our understanding is darkened. It also says we are alienated from the life of God. So we must have a divine teaching to know that of God and to know Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And I want to just give you a couple things this morning about this teaching. Two areas I'd like to talk about first, and that is to know God and to know ourselves. And without His teaching, is one going to believe? Will they believe without His teaching? He has to teach, doesn't He? Will we know ourselves without His teaching? And He talks about that He will teach, and His word will drop unto us, and he teaches with that of His secret power and His invincible power. He opens our very hearts. He softens. It pervades us. His word does. And John the Apostle speaks of it as an unction. It says you have an unction from the Holy One. And it's a special work of the Holy Spirit, and it's distinct from that of our wisdom. I don't think too much of man's wisdom when it comes to spiritual things. God's given him a wisdom that he can devise shuttles and go to the moon and so forth, but his spiritual wisdom, he doesn't have it, does he? He's blind. And here's that teaching that is distinct from our wisdom. And it is strange. I see some people, and They're very brilliant, but when it comes to the scriptures, they know nothing. Nothing. And it's distinct from our knowledge and our natural understanding. And this teaching has a fruit and effect upon us. And, well, the first effects that it has, we're convinced of the truth of God and the authority of that of His Word. Now, if you don't start there in heavenly teaching, you're going to be confused from then on, aren't you? That's where you got to start at. And that's His teaching. He teaches us so that that His Word is the truth, and that He speaks with authority. And again, many have been taught the Scriptures, but yet there's no power to it. There's no effect to the lives. The Word is to have an effect to our very lives. And when we're taught by the Spirit of God, it's going to have an effect, and God speaks with authority. And as far as I'm concerned, He's only authority in the universe, isn't He? It's what He says, it's what He says. And this Word is a revelation of that of His mind and His will, and let others look at it and have their objections and their contradictions and so forth, but we see it as God's authority, and it's God's Word, and it's God's truth. It's truth of the living God, and it's His very teaching. He teaches concerning that of Himself, and He teaches us concerning the world. Now, the world, we look at it, and the world doesn't have this teaching. It doesn't have a heavenly teaching. We look at the nature of man, and he doesn't have a true knowledge of God. If I went over here to the streets this morning, and I asked 10 people about God, who He was, how many different answers do you think I would give? I don't know how many, but there'd be a bunch of them. Every one of them would be different. There's no true knowledge of God. That's why you see all these idols, and they bow down and worship them, call them gods. And you look at history, look what all's been called a god in history. There's no true knowledge of God in this world. There's no fear of God. Where's the fear? People used to talk about somebody and they'd describe them. Well, they feared God. I don't even hear that term anymore. Have a reverence for God. So there's this, no inward conviction that God. Now what about this? The Bible tells us that He's all-seeing. Now, is that how the world thinks of Him? That He sees everything? He's all-knowing? See, He knows your thoughts, doesn't He? The Lord knew the thoughts, didn't He? When they thought them, He knows your thoughts. And He's all-powerful. He has this. He's all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. What about the conviction this morning that He's holy? He's just. He'll not clear the guilty, the Scripture says. He hates sin. He punishes sin. A lot of people believe that He's going to overlook sin. He's going to skip over it. And I'm persuaded that's what most people think, that God's just going to overlook it. But sin produces that of conviction, condemnation, guilt, the sense of wrong. And it we need to cut away that of all the legal hopes. Cut away that of self-righteousness. Isn't that sort of what the gospel does? It is. It just cuts away all the hopes that man has in himself. Cuts away all his righteousness. He stands guilty before God. Lays a soul bare. Isn't that what we need? That's the conviction that we need before God, that we come to Him, and it cuts away and strips us. We're stripped of everything, and there's Christ. He takes away everything and gives us everything, doesn't He? Takes away everything concerning that of ourselves. gives us everything in Christ Jesus. Cuts away that of hope and self. And I am persuaded that most people believe that their salvation is what they've done, doing, or going to do. And this unction gives us a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has sent, and that He is salvation. That Christ is the rock. He is salvation. He's eternal life. And we must flee from the wrath of God and flee to Him and those that are taught of God. We find, as we look in a few moments over in the 6th chapter of the book of John, that they come to me, he says. So the Spirit of God holds before our very eyes and that of His teaching the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. He's the begotten of the Father. He's the very Son of God. He's God manifested in the flesh. His person, who He is. The impeccability of Christ, that He does not sin, didn't sin, He can't sin. His person, who He is, He's the Savior, He's the God-man. The Spirit of God sets before us His work. Now, He had a purpose in coming from heaven, and that is to save that of His people. And He fulfilled that purpose. Isaiah said He shall see that of His soul there, He shall see that of His suffering, and He shall be satisfied. See the travail, that's the word I was looking for, the travail of His soul, and He shall be satisfied. He had a purpose in coming, and that purpose is going to be fulfilled, and that which He came, and Scripture says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's going to happen. And so the Scripture opens Him up. The Holy Spirit teaches us of His work. And now you look at most teaching today, they say Christ came to do something and He won't fulfill it. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? He shall not fail. Isn't that the Holy Spirit's teaching? He shall not fail. He's not going to fail. So it teaches of His blood. And what does His blood do? It cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Boy, if you just have one left, it'll damn you. You don't have to have a whole lot, just one left. It'll damn your soul. Christ has to cleanse from all sin. And that's what He does. It teaches us of the love of Christ. The Holy Spirit shows us His love. Now, you want to know where you want to see the greatest love of Christ? Hanging upon that cross as a substitute. Now that's love. That He died. Shed His blood. Hang there. He has made sin, the Scripture says. Shows us grace. Boy, if this book was silent about grace, we'd be sunk, wouldn't we? Grace. Shows us the grace of God. How merciful to He is. Shows us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What it does, it shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ is everything that we need. That He meets our needs. You as a human being, you as a depraved human being, a sinner, Christ meets the needs, our very needs. And that's what the Holy Spirit in God's teaching opens up to us. That He offered Himself as a sacrifice. He shed His atoning blood. That He died for His people to redeem them. And the payment was His blood. He was made sin. He put away sin. He opened up righteousness. And the scriptures tells us of the willingness of Christ to receive sinners, that he has mercy and grace. And that's the gospel this morning. There's a willingness. Those that know themselves to be sinners, he receives. There's his willingness to save. His words are very comforting, as he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out." There's this drawing, this secret drawing, this kindness, this compassion from a loving Christ, a Savior that loves, that laid down his life. No man took it from him, but he laid it down. He gave it. And we to yield to him, bow to him, submit unto his righteousness. And that's the opposite of those that's without heavenly teaching. Like the Jews. What was, you know what the indictment was about them? They go about to establish their own righteousness. I've often thought about it. What do you want with another righteousness when Christ is a perfect righteousness? It's perfect. Complete. And yet man wants to go about and try to establish a righteousness before God. And so this told, the soul is taught of God. This is a special teaching. This is a heavenly teaching. And it leads to the blessed knowledge. It leads to the knowledge of the Trinity of God. Do you know this morning that our salvation, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them are involved in our salvation. And that's what the Scripture would teach us today, and the teaching, and this divine teaching. We're taught of the righteousness of Christ, the blood of Christ. We're taught of the love of Christ. We're taught of the justice of God. God's a just God. But he is just in this, that sins is paid for in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have salvation. His justice has been satisfied. And there's the three persons of the Godhead, and all of them are equal in power and essence and will and glory. Yet there's just one, Jehovah. And we rest upon God's teaching. Another thing that we're taught, and this heavenly teaching teaches us of ourselves. We learn the evil of sin, that we go our own way, as the Scripture says. And didn't the Scripture say that we've gone our own way? Isn't that what's wrong with man today? He wants his own way, doesn't he? He goes his own way. There's this damning power of sin, and which is contrary to God, and God's just. God would be just if he just let the whole human race go under wrath, wouldn't he? He'd be just in doing so. David said this, and didn't he say, "Sin is against God," and he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." You know, we think about sin in different terms from that, but David said that against thee and thee only. Two ways of seeing evil. One is by the law, and the other is by the gospel. The law teaches us of sin, and we break the law. Have you ever just tried to measure yourself by the law of God? You don't get very far, do you? You can't get past the first one when it comes to that of the law. But the law gives no mercy. The law shows no love. The law shows no grace. But it just shows us sin. And it shows us ourselves, that we are breakers of the law. But there's the gospel, and the gospel sets before us the man of sorrows, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was acquainted with grief. And his humiliation, the birth to the cross. And when we see him on the cross, you know what they were saying? That here's one that wasn't fit for society. Isn't that something? A perfect man? An example of kindness and compassion, but yet they're hanging on a cross and saying, you're not fit for society. He has made a spectacle to that of the world, hung between two thieves. But what was happening? The weight of sin, our sin, was put upon him. Our sin. He stood in our place as a substitute. And we say, well, they hung him, but we hung him on the cross, didn't we? Wasn't it our sin that hung him there? Is our sin that hung him on the cross is there, and his suffering is death. Suffering and death was for us. So the Spirit of God teaches us these things, that we see our hearts, and all of us by nature, we're selfish. What do you have to teach kids first of all? That's my toy. Don't want anybody else to play with, don't you? It comes out in kids, doesn't it? Selfishness, it comes out. And it teaches us of our selfishness. Man's proud. He's a proud being. I've known people, I remember one man that if you said you caught a fish 2 pounds, he caught one 4 pounds. If you killed a deer that had 4 points, he killed one 8 points or something. Everything you done, he'd say he done it better. And man is a proud being, and he's very worthy being. That comes by nature. That's part of nature. And the Spirit of God, he strips away and he opens our very hearts unto us, the secret recesses, and that we have a deceitful heart. They said, oh, Rothbard used to say, I wish I could come just pull the skin back and show you your old heart. We know something of our hearts, and the Bible says it's deceitful. Deceitful heart. Evil heart. Isaiah, when he saw the holiness of God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, you know what he said next? Woe is me, didn't he? And I tell you, if you see God, who he is, see him high and lifted up, as Isaiah did. Holy, holy, holy. And that's what we're going to say, woe is me. I'm a man of undone and live among a people that is unclean lips. Job said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. We'd cut off that of fleshly wisdom and self-righteousness. And here's something else. You just don't put a new patch on old garments, do you? Has anybody ever tried that? It just don't work, do you? People go with holes in their clothes now and these, but they used to patch them. When I growed up, you had patches. Now I think the fashion is you just go ahead and have the holes, but you'll put new patches on old garments. And we can't rely upon our wisdom and our strength and all of this, but on the Lord's teaching, we depart with our righteousness and our wisdom and our strength. The Lord teaches us that it's Christ is wisdom, not ours, but Christ, his righteousness, his strength. Then the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And we seek his. This teaching has to do with faith and that of believing to the saving of the soul. Now, I'm going to tell you today, there's no living faith in that of nature. A natural faith does not save. a historical faith does not save. It has to be a spiritual faith. It's called the faith of the operation of God. It's called the faith of God's elect in the Scriptures. And it's that of spiritual faith. It's that which we have good hope through grace, and it comes from the teaching of the Spirit, and it teaches us to cast all upon Christ. Isn't that what this faith is? We cast it all upon Christ. It's not anywhere else but on Him. It's on Christ Jesus. And it talks about the love of God is shed abroad in our very hearts. And the Lord teaches us. And that of love. And this love is toward God, is toward Christ. And John uses it, says, you pass from death unto life before, if you love the brethren, didn't he? You love them. This teaching produces that of humility. And shouldn't it bring humility and humbleness to us when we know that sin is entertained and intermingled in our very thoughts, in our words, in our action, and so forth and so on? And we come here this morning. Can you keep your mind exactly upon what is going on, or does it slip off somewhere? I heard Irvin Wallace say to me one time, I was going out of the church, and we was talking about something about prayer. And he always was very quaint, Brother Irvin was. He was my pastor in the 50s. And he said, when you go to pray, he says, you remember where you lost your hammer at. I thought about that a whole lot, man. How things come in your mind. He said, you might look for that hammer, but go to pray. So you think about where it was, where it is. And isn't that humbling to us that our best, what we try to do best, still has sin attached to it? I mean, man, he has no reason to be proud, does he? We're before a holy God. And we come and we want to worship. We desire to worship. And yet, many times our mind will wonder, even when we're trying to worship it. Humbling. What about patience? Lord, teach us patience to the will of God. No one is exempt from troubles and trials and afflictions. If you don't have them, you will have them. Sometime or another. Patience. The hand of God. Look at His hand. And again, that goes back to what we was talking about this morning in the Sunday school class. That what He does is for our good. For our good. Everything that He does is for our very good. The disciple says, teach us to pray. I say praying is probably one of the hardest things that you ever try, isn't it? Teach us to pray aright, to pray spiritually, to pray acceptable. And we must have God to teach us that. He must teach us to seek that of His face and to pray and to seek after Him. This teaching also teaches us of the world. This morning, the world is not your friend. Is it? It's not your friend. It's against you. It's against Christ. Christ says, if it's against me, it's against you. And it teaches us, and we just separate from it. Then the Scripture says, you've been delivered from this present evil world. That's what the Scripture says. You've been delivered from it. And it's defiling. Young people, you need to seek your friends among those that are Christians and those that serve God. We hear so much, and you can't, nowadays you can't even, you hear so much you don't want to hear. I mean, you just be somewhere and you hear this stuff. I don't want to hear it. It's defiling. And we're not to bow to this world. It seems to me like Christians, they're going in the opposite direction, and they are going in the opposite direction than this world's going. This world's headed for damnation. It's just contrary to Christ. We need to be fixed upon better things. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And this heavenly teaching, we to honor God and we to seek His glory. And every child needs divine teaching and has divine teaching and has instruction, and it's a special teaching. We seek God's wisdom, God's guidance, and God's light. It's eternal things. Set your affections upon things above, eternal things, that we might profit spiritually. Isn't that better than even profit other ways? Is profit spiritually? One of the letters written in the epistles of John talks about that of profiting spiritually. And God's teaching, and here's something else about it. When God teaches us, it doesn't leave us where He found us. It doesn't leave us dead. It doesn't leave us worldly and carnal and in guilt and darkness. It gives us light and instructions. While others grow upwardly, God's people grow downward. They don't grow in pride and arrogance and presumption, but they grow in humility, sincerity, and that's how they grow, in contrition, brokenness of heart. They have a low view of self and a high view of Christ, which most people have a high view of self and a low view of Christ. It's right the opposite. And part of this modern preaching, they want to build up people, build them up. Oh, you'd be built up in the Holy Spirit. You'd not be built up in pride and arrogance and all of this and presumption, but build up spiritually. And turn with me to John, the 6th chapter. And the verse that we read a while ago as we finished the message today upon this part of the Scripture. You know what the mark of all of this is? In the 6th chapter of John, in verse 45, it says, every man says, shall be taught of God, and every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father, what? Cometh to me. Every man. The Father says, cometh to me, that He teaches. So you come to Christ. There's a desire after Him. They're seeking to know Him and the power of His resurrection. There's a manifestation of His love. And if you have all of this, you've come to Christ. You've been taught of God. And He teaches all His children. There's no exception to this. It says all will be taught. And I say unto you this morning that this is the only teaching that has saved the soul. It's God's teaching. And also in this teaching, we have to unlearn much. There's a lot of things we've been taught over the years, and I don't know how we come to all this, but when you start reading the Bible and seeing what the Bible says, you start unlearning things also. And God's teaching, He teaches you things, and you have to unlearn some things. And that affects us all, doesn't it? You use the means that God has used in His teaching here. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's an important thing this morning that we're here. It's an important thing this morning that we have the Bible before us. We have the hearing. And we get something from that of God's truth and what's taught. And the Holy Spirit uses it to teach us. And He teaches us effectually, not just the hearing, but it has to do with our very lives, and there's a result to it. And here the primary results, as we see it from the Scripture, is that they come unto Christ. When you've been taught of the Father, you come unto Christ. You come to Him. Now, if the teaching that one has leads them somewhere else, it is not the Father's teaching. Now, in that point, if it leads to other things, if the teaching leads to other things and doesn't lead to Christ, it's not His teaching. Now, I'm going to tell you something else about this teaching. When He teaches, there's a coming to Christ and there's a keep on going. Faith is not a single act, and when you, and that you're done with it. That's not what faith is. Faith continues. It's a coming to Christ. Peter says, to whom cometh, it's coming to Him. Coming. Keep on coming. You come the rest of your life to Him. I don't go much for this where people say, well, I made a profession years ago and that was it. No, that's not it. You have faith, you keep on coming to Christ. And you'll keep on coming to Him. You come day by day to Him. You believe today, tomorrow, you'll be a believer. Day after tomorrow, you'll be a believer. You just don't believe today, in one day. If you don't believe today, you've never believed. I believe that's Gardner Spring said that in one of his books. So if you're not a believer today, you never have believed, truly believed. So Peter says, to whom cometh, always coming, always trusting, always believing. And why? Because you've been taught of the Father. You've been taught by the Spirit of God. Christ is your teacher. All of thy children shall be taught of the Father. Every man, therefore, that is heard and learned of the Father, cometh to me. So that's how you test yourself today. Whether you're one that's been taught or not. If you've been taught and you've come to Christ, you've been taught of God. If you haven't, may the Lord teach you today and speak to your heart and you come to Christ. And you know you're taught of Him. May we pray. Father, bless your word. What you've left us, this great word, and telling us about life and the things of life and how to live and what to look to and whose wisdom and whose righteousness, Christ. And we cast all upon Him. Nothing on ourselves, but all upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This great foundation that is laid. No other foundation given but Him. Bless these that are here today in their very lives. Oh, may, Lord, that you teach us, guide and direct us. And we're thankful for your teaching. What a blessing it is when this world doesn't have it, but yet you've given it unto us, your children. This blessing of being taught of Thee. May we grow in grace and knowledge of You. Bless each family that's gathered here in Christ's name. Amen.